Okay, I think we're going to be done a little early tonight.
My wife and I were commenting on the way over that it's a full moon. My father used to work in a lab. He was the head of the blood bank, and he said anytime there was a full moon, they stocked more blood in the blood bank just to be ready. I think the teens know it's a full moon. You could hear them when we were singing. Did you hear that? I wonder if the kids downstairs know. It's crazy. Okay, I want to thank Pastor Camp for giving me the opportunity. I've been preaching with my family for 3 years now at nursing homes, but there's a big difference between standing behind something like this and standing behind something like that. When you stand behind something like this, you like forget everything you thought you were going to be saying. So it's a good experience. But I got another crazy one for you, since we have a couple extra minutes. You're looking at the face of Maranatha. Isn't that crazy? We've been in the nursing home ministry for 3 years, and hundreds of people think that me and my wife and my kids are Maranatha. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? That's all they know about you guys, as we represent you preaching the word. I'm glad we have some other people helping us. I think they think that everyone from Maranatha has like 6 or 8 kids. I do appreciate Pastor Camp giving me the opportunity. I don't know how long the opportunity will last. I do know that I'm graduating in May, and I hope to blast out from here. And up until just recently, I think I've only preached from a pulpit 3 times. I was down here 4 years before I had the opportunity to preach 1 time. I was down here 4 years to preach once, and I was training to be a pastor. When I came here, I'm very grateful that Pastor Camp gave me the opportunity to take over for the Kellys. When the Kellys blasted off, that was us. And I remember Mr. Kelly invited us to the nursing home, and I was like, I was taking it all in. I'm like, wow, this is great. And my son Tim comes up to me, and he punches me, and he goes, Dad, you could do this. And it occurred to me, that's why he asked me to come. I'm like, why are we here? That was why. When the Risingers left, we took over for the Risingers at Carillon, and we were preaching 3 times a week. And that was an experience. Okay, I got to preach the same message twice, but I was still preaching 3 times a week. And that was hard, but it was a great experience. The people at the nursing home, they look at us like I'm their pastor. And it's a lot of responsibility. And it has been a tremendous learning opportunity. My children have been to more funerals than probably most of you in this room because of the ministry that we're in. And because of the job that I have, I've probably been to more funerals than all of you. And I'm going to say it right now. If you come to my funeral, you bring a lost friend, and somebody please preach the gospel. I have been to probably just under 30 funerals in 7.5 years. I've heard the gospel once. I've heard it once. Once. And it was at a country church. They sang with a twang, and the music was hillbilly. But the preacher preached the gospel. And I mean, it was amazing. But I'm really preaching to myself tonight. I kind of do this every once in a while, and I hope you all will listen in as I do. Because I've been struggling with something, and that is the will of the Lord. I never really cared about the will of the Lord before. It was always my will and what I wanted and what I was going to do. Even shortly after we were saved, I took a promotion to the West Coast, East Coast, had an 11-state territory, and I decided where I was going to live and where we were going to go to church and where I did it all. I never asked God what he wanted, not once. But I've kind of learned that my philosophy on life, which was that God wants me to be happy, is not a biblical philosophy on life. I'm here to do his will. I'm here to do what he wants me to do. And as I struggle with that now, my wife comes to me and she says, honey, what are we doing after graduation? We have an appointment with Pastor Camp Thursday. I'm frustrating my wife because I don't have any answers. I don't know what the Lord, I don't know what the will of the Lord is. And I'm preaching to myself because I'm reverting back to that panic mode when he first called me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be living in a van down by the river, and I'm going to be poor, and I'm not going to have any clothes, and I'm going to drive a 69 Chevy. Where does that come from? Listen, the will of the Lord is not something to be feared. It is something to be embraced. It is something to be sought after. And as you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 21, I want to start there, Acts chapter 21, four quick points. I think we'll be done early. Acts chapter 21, we're going to read and then we'll ask the Lord to bless. And we'll move on from there. Acts chapter 21, verse number 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Follow along with me if you will. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Paul is leaving Ephesus, a place that he loves, and he's saying goodbye, and he's headed to Jerusalem. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they that were of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, it's because of Jesus that we're here. And Lord, I just pray that everything that's said and done this evening would be honoring to you. And I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would give understanding. And Lord, that you would help us to see that, Lord, the will of the Lord, your will for us, is a perfect will. It's acceptable, it's pleasing, it's perfect, and it's not to be feared. It's to be embraced. So Lord, I ask you to encourage my heart through the preaching of your word. And Lord, I ask you to do the same for others. In Jesus' name. Paul wanted, above all else, to please God. Paul knew that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem, and Paul also knew what that would entail. He knew that that would mean pain. He knew that that was what was going to happen, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now, no one likes pain. I'm a type A personality when it comes to pain, and that stands for avoidance. If I see pain coming down the street, walking towards me, I am crossing the street and I am going on the other direction. I don't like pain. I don't sign up for it. I don't go out of my way to get it. But many times the will of the Lord involves pain. The will of the Lord is painful for some. It is painful for some. And when we really want to be in the center of God's will, we must accept all that comes with it, even the pain. I want to give you an example. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to ask you a question after I get done reading this. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, not just sorrowful, but exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus, in his humanity, is praying to his Father, saying, Lord, if there's another way that this can be done, is there another way that this can be done? He was 100% man and 100% God. He wasn't looking forward to the pain either. But notice how he prays. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. May I remind you of the pain and suffering that Jesus Christ went through for you and for me? Brother Kahiwat preached an excellent message on Friday before the Messiah concert that was stirring. And I thought about all that Jesus Christ went through for us. He was tortured. Those pictures that you see of Jesus hanging on the cross, they're gracious. Because he was marred beyond recognition. He was tortured, bruised, beaten for us. And the question is, was he in the center of God's will or not? And you and I know that he was, because he was there to pay for your sin debt and mine. There was no other way. The will of the Lord is painful. Some. I think of Miss Mildred at the nursing home. Sweet lady. Her husband preceded her in death by about 26 years. Towards the end, it was obvious that she was in constant pain. There was only one position that she could sit in and not be just engulfed. What did she do to deserve that? You know, sometimes suffering is a part of the plan. And I remember speaking to her shortly before she died. She'd been up all night. A storm had come through, and she was exhausted. She said every time that the thunder clapped, I mean, it just woke her up. Her bed was right by the window. And I did my best to console her and comfort her. And I said, Miss Mildred, you are, even though you didn't get any sleep, you are just as pretty today as you ever were. And she laughed so loud. She thought that was hilarious. And for just a split second, she forgot about that pain. It was hard for her to attend the services as we went on. And eventually, she ended up in hospice. And we visited her there. The kids, we all sang for her, and she asked us to come back. Told her that we would. Miss Mildred's not in any pain now. The will of the Lord is painful for some, but may I tell you that it is perplexing to others. Look at all these places back in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 21. Look at all these places that they go to. I mean, the average Christian, when they're reading this, they're like, what? Why are all these places in here? Where are they? What is the point of Cus and Rhodes and Patara and Phoenicia and Cyprus? Well, I've kind of heard of Cyprus, but where's Tyre? I mean, this is very confusing. This journey is perplexing to me. Paul knew where he was going. Paul knew exactly where he was going. And I find it interesting that there's several guys that have come out of this church. When I look at the will of the Lord for their lives and I watch them, it's perplexing to me. I think of Josh Towne. A lot of you know Josh Towne. We support him. I remember going on visitation with Josh at Tri-City when he first came in. He was scared to death. And I'm thinking, I talked to him the last time he was here, and I asked him, I said, how did you come up with this? And he told me the story about how the Lord had worked in his heart to reach Arab-speaking people in Philadelphia. But to do that, he's got to go to the Middle East for several years to learn the culture and to be able to learn the language fluently. But to do that, he's got to raise his support. And I thought, how do you get that? How do you get Brenson Jennings? I remember talking with Brenson a lot. I mean, what an encouragement he was to me. How do you get the will of the Lord to be that you take your wife and your infant daughter and you go out on the backside of the Sahara Desert? That's perplexing. I think of the Ivans. I had the privilege of watching their DVD display for their deputation ministry. Gabe did it himself. It's very well done. We need to see it here before you leave. You listen to the story of how God worked in their hearts for years to bring them to this point where they would say, you know what, that is the will of the Lord for me. To them, it makes perfect sense. To me, it's amazing. It's perplexing. I know a lot of people look at us, my wife and I, and they're like, did you hear what happened to the Birchwells? What happened to them? We got saved at the age, I was 33, my wife was 30, and slowly, almost overnight, our friends didn't want to hang around us anymore. People thought we'd lost it. I took a promotion, we moved to Hagerstown, Maryland, and it was in Maryland while listening to a missionary on deputation to South Africa that I couldn't get away from God's call. I couldn't get away from it. So I ran out the back door of the church and hid in the car. I didn't want to talk to anybody. My wife gets out there and she says, what is the matter with you? I'm out there hiding. That's what I did. So I'm struggling with this call in my life, thinking I'm going to live in a van down by the river and be poor the rest of my life because God wants me to be in His service. And then God opens the door. And He had to open it wide, Pastor. I mean, it took the whole side off the house for me to get out. Otherwise, we would have never come down. My friends, they're like, did you hear what Wayne did? I was number 5 in the company where I worked in a certain market segment. I was number 5. Everybody knew who I was. I didn't know who they were. I followed directions well. My boss said, do this, this, and this, and do it everywhere you go. So I did this, this, and this everywhere I went, and I was successful. My boss was talking to the president of the company one day, and I was in the car being quiet. We had just lost a national account. It was huge. My boss was calling the president of the company to inform him. And he took it all in stride. He was like, well, I remember him saying, at least you've still got Birchwell. And I thought, the president of the company knows my name? I never talked to him before. And my boss, Andy, stuttered and said, well, He's leaving us. And there was a long silence on the other end of the phone. And he's like, what is he doing? Where is he going? And he said, he's going to Bible college. The president of the company I used to work for is lost. And he didn't understand that at all. It was just like, that does not compute. The will of the Lord is painful for some. It's perplexing to others. Those same people that told me to my face that I was too religious were the same people when I left that said, you'll make a good pastor. Maybe they kind of got it. I'll tell you another quick story. When I was 18 and graduated from high school, and I was voted by a select group of friends to be most committed to an insane asylum before the age of 30. You know, you got class clown, best looking, most athletic. I was voted most crazy. That's how unstable I was, and that's just the best way for me to describe it. Well, when I sold my house, quit my job, and left my church, the people that still knew me thought that I'd finally gone over the deep end. They took my territory and they split it up into three pieces. The lady that got my territory made more money that year than she'd ever made in her entire life. Since I have been down here, I have not been able to sell my way out of a paper bag. I don't know what happened. But I'm in the will of the Lord, and it's perplexing to me. I know I'm supposed to be here. We ran out of money 3 years ago. As I sat in Brother Burris's office getting ready to tell him, Larry, you let me come, and I never made a down payment. You asked me how much I could put down, and I couldn't, Larry, I couldn't tell you. I'm not paying my bills now. I don't have anything to put down. And I remember him saying, he said, Wayne, you've been here long enough. You know we'll work with you. You've been here long enough. You know we'll work with you. We had three things to talk about that day, and I just got done with number two. And that was teaching an insurance class. I taught an insurance class for him. This was the first time. And I was just getting ready to get to the point, Larry, I can't pay my school bill. And my phone rang. It's my wife. And she said, honey, you'll never believe it. Two checks came in the mail. It was for $800. And there was a note that said, we're going to send you $300 every month until you graduate. I was floored. I know that I'm in the center of the Lord's will, even though I don't understand it. The will of the Lord is painful for some. It is perplexing to others. It is perfect for you. Romans chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 1 and 2. Quickly, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Notice who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, your whole selves, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When I surrendered, somebody asked me, did God give you a verse? I'm like, what? That kind of sounds like Russian roulette to me. I wasn't comfortable with that at all. Did God give you a verse? I thought, God didn't give me a verse. I'd find a verse. So I looked in the Bible to find a verse. I'm glad that I found a principle and not a verse. Based upon what God has done for me, it was perfectly reasonable for me to give myself back to him and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want is what I'll do. Have you read this verse in any different versions? It doesn't read the same. I'm afraid that if I had an NIV or an RSV or an ESV or any of those other ones, I may still be in Hagerstown, Maryland, looking for a verse. It wasn't the same. You know, things that are different are not the same. Anyway, that was deep, wasn't it? Let's move on. And be not conformed to this world. There's a whole sermon right here, but I want to hit two words. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a word in both those verses that's repeated, and that's acceptable. It has the idea of well-pleasing. But notice in verse number 1, when you give yourself to Him and you sacrifice yourself to Him, it's acceptable unto Him. It's well-pleasing unto Him. But notice the perfect will of God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Acceptable. It's the same word. It has the idea of being well-pleasing. Well, guess who it's well-pleasing to this time? It's well-pleasing to you. You don't need to be afraid of it. The idea behind the word perfect is being complete, fully mature, having all that we need. In God's will, we are complete. So does it not follow that we are incomplete outside of God's will? We will never be satisfied outside of God's will. The will of the Lord is painful for some. It is perplexing to others. It is perfect for you. And in conclusion, it is a person that is available to everyone. The will of the Lord is not something mysterious and ethereal and out there somewhere in the vapor that you never can get a hold of. That's not the will of the Lord. God is not hiding. He wants to be known. He wants His will known. And not only does He want His will known, but He wants it done. The will of the Lord is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And as we walk His way side by side, as we say no to ourselves and yes to Him, we are in His will. I think of Galatians 2:20. Very popular. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead. When He died, I died. Nevertheless, I live. Now, wait a minute. I'm not dead? I'm alive? Yet not I. Okay? I'm not alive. But Christ liveth in me. Listen, there's fire in the future for every Christian. There's fire in the future for everyone, Christian alike. So if you're saved and you're thinking, I'm good, don't have to worry about nothing, guess again. For the lost person, the fire of judgment is, what have you done with Christ? For the saved person, the fire of judgment is, what have you done in Christ? Because it's what He's done through you, not what you've done for Him, not in the energies of your own flesh, but what He has done through you. That is what is going to be the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Everything else is wood, hay, and stubble. I'm afraid we're all going to be surprised when our works are tested. And we think we've done all these great things for God, and we're going to find out that He wasn't in it. And we were just doing it. It's in Christ. Not me, Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Listen, the will of the Lord is painful for some. It is perplexing to others. It is perfect for you, and it is a person, and that is Jesus Christ. It's true for all of us. If it's true for all of us, then individually it's true for all of us collectively. And as Maranatha goes through this transition, we are in the will of the Lord. I am convinced. I'm on board. I wasn't. I am now. But it's going to be painful for some. Some will leave. And that'll be painful for us that stay. That's just the way it is. That's just what happens. It's like purging a vine. It is painful for some. It's going to be perplexing to others. what are those deacons doing? Are they doing anything? How did they come up with this? Nobody asked me my input on this decision right here. How can I vote on this? I don't have enough information. I'm confused. It's going to be perplexing. Listen, it gets perplexing back there. You think it looks confusing out here? Listen, it's perfect for us. The idea is being fully mature and complete. And it is a person. As we follow Christ together as a church, this is His church. He's not the author of confusion. It is not His intent to destroy. It is His intent to build and to move forward. Yes, painful for some, perplexing to others. It's perfect for us, and it is a person. The will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Is.